everybody, with Bubba Ronald again tonight from Conyers, Georgia. We are joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185, and we're most certainly glad to have you aboard in here tonight as we come in on a Friday night. We're live here, Brother Arnold, on June the 12th, and we've got an amazing power-packed hour. Want everybody to stay tuned, call a friend and a neighbor in the neighborhood and tell them that Pastor Buddy is on the air. Also tonight we got some great news for you. We're going to pick up two more hours, working on the schedule right now with the staff at WWRB, and we're going over to 50-50 for 2 hours starting very soon on 50-50. It's also simulcast on Transponder 2, so you're listening to us tonight on the Internet on 1. We will be 2 hours when we get the appointed time. We will share that with you. So it's very exciting news, and that'll make us on for 5 nights a week for 5 hours, and that's wonderful. Brother Arnold, what we want to do, we want to pick up here tonight. We want to pick up on the issue of the Sabbath days, how it was orchestrated, how it was brought about. And you know, Brother Arnold, I've listened to a lot of teaching on the radio about the Sabbath, and to be frankly honest with you, most of it is tradition. I mean, they just take, for instance, they say Saturday is the Sabbath of the Jews, so therefore they must be right because they keep Saturday from Friday night at sundown to Saturday night at sundown. And then, of course, a lot of the Christians, they keep Sunday as the Sabbath. Both of these are tradition. In other words, when they say the Bible by saying that Saturday is the Sabbath, which Saturday is not mentioned in the Bible, as you very well know, and neither is Sunday. But here's what they do. They have to leave the scriptural references to bring in a Saturday or a Sunday Sabbath and establish another unit of measure, in other words, the calendar, the Gregorian calendar. And people that really believe this have to trust that they went back to the beginning of time, as they try to argue, and that they have kept correct time, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And as the Seventh-day proponents, the Seventh-day Adventists is what we like to say, they say that Saturday, that the Father, when he created, the Creator, he rested on Saturday. Now, that's what they say. Now, Brother Arnold, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that system?
Well, first of all, I want to say I've used that system for many years before I found the better system or the true system. You know, when your doctrine reaches the heavens, you can't. People used to say, well, how many times you going to change? Started out on Sunday and then went to Saturday, and now you're keeping the lunar, or we'd like to call it creation Sabbath. It goes back to creation there, which is by the moon. I told him, well, when your doctrine reaches the heavens, I guess that's as far as you can go. But anyhow, absolutely, Brother Bud, they actually making the better choice. Anybody with two brains wants to keep the seventh day instead of the first day of the week, right?
Correct.
So, on the Roman pagan calendar, their first day of the week Sunday and seventh day of the week Saturday, but that's only going to work. You know, I kept it for many years like that, but that's only going to work if that was the calendar that was the creation calendar, where he said in Genesis 1:14, let them, talking about the great light, let them be for your days and years. And the week of Sabbath, there's a day, and it says signs and seasons. And the weekly Sabbath is a season. That word season is appointment. And it's talking about worship appointments. Moed. And then when you read Leviticus 23, he said, these are my appointments. You know, man tries to make his own calendar, his own appointments, but it won't work. One major thing wrong with that, Brother Buddy, is they know the scripture teaches that you're to keep the commandments. and they know that there's statutes and judgments that goes with them. The judgments is if you don't keep them, what'll happen to you? But you got statutes that tells you how to do it. It's set. And listen to this. They have to go outside of the scripture. They cannot find when to begin to count their 6 work days so that they can keep the 7th day in scripture. And like you said, you know, the Bible says prove all things. Now, how in the world can I prove that somebody counted 1 through 7 from creation and kept up with it? Matter of fact, I can prove they did. And the way I can prove they didn't is turn over to Lamentation 2:6. The Heavenly Father himself says, I'm going to cause them to forget the Sabbath.
Okay.
Well, if they forgot it, then they didn't keep up with it. And I tell you something else. They had forgot them when they was in Egypt because he had to make known his Sabbath to Moses there in the wilderness in Exodus 16th chapter. And guess what? The moon was mentioned there too. He said he spoke to him on the 15th day of the moon. He told him when it gets evening, you're going to get quail, and in the morning, manna for 6 days, which would be the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st. He said, but you won't find it the next day, which would be the 22nd, like we believe. So.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's the holy Shabbat. It was then, and it is today. And we'll prove it before this. Oh, I was thinking, you're going to have a tough time getting all the evidence we got on three-hour tape.
Yes, we are. You know,
we went through, we're going to prove mathematically, we prove by nature, scripture, history, any way you want it proved. This is that they were keeping lunar weeks, and at the end of a lunar week, see, they were keeping lunar months and weeks, but today they don't keep, the Roman calendar don't acknowledge lunar months. It's just 30, 31 days. When they done away with the month, they done away with the lunar weeks also that fell within the month. And we'll prove that here in just a minute.
Yeah.
But they've got major, major problems, Brother Buddy. Suppose you woke up one day, you know, shipwrecked on an island or from a plane crash in the wilderness.
Okay.
And you had no recollection of what day it was. And nothing endured the wreckage, I say, except the word of the Almighty, God. And you know, which we call the Bible or scriptures. Could you find out what day of the weekly Sabbath was using only the word of the Almighty?
Okay.
Or would you need the Bible plus? In other words, you got the commandment in there and the judgment, but you ain't got... You going to tell me we can't find out how it's done from the scripture and scripture alone? We need the Bible plus. The Bible's not sufficient to tell us when to begin the count of the first work day so we can get to the seventh day so we can keep this commandment? Or do we go outside to some organization or denomination or to a group of people that he has blinded till they, you know, say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. You see, there's so much in here that disproves. You notice we always quoting scripture and showing them why that he appointed the moon for Sabbath, and he didn't appoint some man or organization to tell you when to count for the seventh day. But yet, they're never proving whatsoever or trying to prove that they can prove that the seventh day somebody kept up with it from Adam all the way to now. And Lamentation 2:6 proves it didn't. But think about this. People boast how that they use the scripture and scripture alone, but when it comes to the weekly seventh day, they believe they need some man or organization to tell them when the Sabbath begins and ends. They realize that the scripture, you know, teaches commandments, statutes, judgments. They realize it. They can find the commandments to keep the Sabbath in scripture. They realize they can find the judgment in scripture for not keeping it. But they don't realize that the statute of how to find the Sabbath is right there. And I want to show you 2 ways that we, lunar Sabbatarians, can wake up on an island or in the wilderness. And we are, right now, we're spiritually waking up in a wilderness, Brother Bud.
Amen, brother.
We're waking up in a spiritual wilderness, and we need to get back to the old landmarks and find out when the true appointments of the Almighty Yahweh is. They're real important. They're so important that Satan has attacked them, and he's brought this even the Septuagint said that Israel would adopt false Sabbath. It says that, I think it's in Amos 6. But anyhow, we'll get into that maybe on our next one, whatever. But they're actually saying that they won't admit this, but they're actually saying that the scripture is insufficient. It's not complete. It won't tell you when to begin to count. Oh, it tells you to keep the Sabbath day. Now remember, this carried the death penalty, brother buddy.
Yes, it does.
You think he's going to give you something, a commandment to keep that carries a death penalty in his word, and not tell you in his word where it's at and how to find it? What it is, it's hidden in simplicity. And I'll show you in a minute. It's so simple that a fool or a wayfaring man can't err therein. But yet, they want to make this thing complicated. Listen to the foundation of our doctrine, people. The scripture says in Genesis 1:14 that these great lights are for appointments. Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3 says the weekly Sabbath is appointment, and uses the same word, moed.
That's right.
Then Psalms 104:19 says that he appointed the moon for appointments. This is talking about his worship appointments, because the moon ain't appointed for all appointments. It's talking about his worship appointments, and the weekly Sabbath is the worship appointment there in Leviticus 23 for the whole year, the weekly Sabbath. But anyhow, that's our foundation, but yet people proceed to try to go and show us where. No, it ain't. You gotta count from here to here. Well, they said, well, it goes back to creation, 1 through 7 back to creation. Well, the Romans had an 8-day week, and you can count 1 through 8 back to creation too.
That is correct.
Uninterrupted, 1 through 8. The Egyptians had a 10-day week. You can count 1 through 10 back to the creation.
That is correct.
And so, here, the bottom line is, you know, when the true creation Sabbath is by the great lights, Genesis 1:14, a person can find not only the commandment to keep the Sabbath and judgment of what will happen if you don't keep it, but the statutes are also there in the scriptures. In other words, all right, let me get back to what I was going to say. After waking up in the wilderness with only a Bible, let's say,
okay,
and a desire to keep the fourth commandment, that comes after 6 work days. So you know this. You just don't know how long you was knocked out. You don't know. You don't know. You lost track of days. You know.
Correct.
You want to find that Sabbath because you love Yahweh, and you want to keep His commandment. All right, but you must somehow. Look, let's forget about finding the seventh day, because let's start at the beginning. Let's find the first day of the week. If we can find the first day of the 6 working days, then we got it. Because we can never do that. We got it. Listen, in order to keep the seventh day, it comes after 6 work days. If we can find that. This is an absolute, brother buddy. The question is, can we actually find which days are working days from the Scripture? From Scripture alone. And where the 6 working days begin. I believe we can do this from Scripture, and I'll prove it.
Now, wait a minute, Brother Arnold. You mean if we're out on an island somewhere, and we're marooned, and we lose track of time, like you made a mention a while ago, that the Bible actually prophesied that Israel would forget their Sabbaths. And
yes,
that,
he said, I'll destroy their sanctuary. Remember, he destroyed the temple. Anytime when he destroyed their temple and like took them into captivity for 400 years or whatever, when Moshe or Moses went into captivity,
mm-hmm,
the children of Israel,
mm-hmm,
there's been places in history that the Sabbaths were forgotten until he made them known, like to Moses when they come out of Egypt. Well, now, when Titus in A.D. 70 destroyed the temple, they forgot them again. They're coming back now. He's making them known now. You and I right now are telling the people, you know, that the Sabbaths when they are. See, a lot of people there in Exodus 16, they say that the moon ain't even mentioned. Well, that's how little they know about Scripture. He said he spoke to them on the 15th day of the second month. That word month is moon, or Kodesh, whatever, the second.
That's correct.
He told them. He spoke to them, and a lot of people say, well, he used the manna to show them the Sabbath. No, he did not. He used the manna to see if they're going to walk in his law or no. He said, and they, and of course they went out there on the Sabbath day, which was the 22nd of the month, of the moon. They went out there on the 22nd, and they didn't find it. He said, "How long refuse you to keep my laws?"
That's what he said.
So the manna wasn't showing when the Sabbath was. It was the moon that was showing them the appointment, and the manna was to see if they was going to walk in or not, because, you know, they didn't then, they don't now. But anyhow, he didn't point man. He pointed something else, which we know in Psalms 104:19, it teaches what it was. It says he appointed the moon for the worship days or appointment. Leviticus 23:2-3 teaches the weekly Sabbath are these worship days or appointments. It's talking about throughout the whole year. But anyhow, back to the question, can we find the working days, Brother Buddy, from Scripture and Scripture alone? I've demonstrated how that he teaches the moon is more the seventh day or weekly Sabbath, because it's a Moed, and people set out to try to prove Yahweh's lying is what they're trying to do. He said it is. Now they believe that Yahweh rested the seventh day. You know Genesis 1, right?
Yes, they do.
And I believe that. I believe he rested the seventh day. But why can't they believe the scripture where he said he appointed the moon for the weekly Sabbaths or seventh day? It's a Moed. I mean, you can't just say, pick and choose which ones you want. Anyhow, we should be able to find the first of the six working days. I'm going to tell you how to do it. By using the moon. If the Sabbath's by the moon, then you should be able to find the first work day by the moon. Okay. Now listen, like I said, they may not admit it, but after all is said and done, of course, you know, there's more generally said than done.
That's
anyhow,
a fact.
They're teaching that you need more than scriptures to find when the holy seventh day begins and ends. And when the week begins and ends, you need, they're saying, and they won't admit it, but they're saying the scripture's not sufficient, because they cannot go in the scripture and show you when the week begins and ends. But I'm going to show you right here. The truth of the matter is in Ezekiel 46:1.
Okay.
Let me read it.
Go ahead and read it.
It's very important.
Okay, it's very important.
Okay, now listen to this. Thus saith the mighty or almighty Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the six working days. Now, he didn't just say shut working days on working days. That way, that would leave it open. He said six working days. Don't this indicate that this is talking about a week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Six working days
mm-hmm.
each week.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, shut the six working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. Now listen to verse 4, verse 3. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before Yahweh in the Sabbath and in the new moon.
Now,
if they're down there worshiping in the Sabbath and in the new moons, it's not one of the six ordinary working days. Now, I know they've done things on the new moon that you wouldn't do on a weekly Sabbath, but the new moon is not a weekly Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath is more stricter than the new moon. On a weekly Sabbath, you don't travel, carry nothing in and out of your house, or do any of them things. But we find in Scripture where they was traveling on the new moon, where Moses reared up the tabernacle on the new moon, where they numbered the children of Israel on the new moon. But you got to remember this. Where's that Scripture in Amos where it talks about when will the Sabbath and the new moon be gone, we can buy and sell, you know, set forth.
Yeah, Amos 8:5, Brother Arnold.
Amos 8:5. So if the new moon is a day that you can't buy or sell, think about this. The scripture clearly teaches that you have 6 days to labor and do all your work. Well, the merchants, if they can't buy or sell on a new moon day, well, they certainly ain't got no 6 days once a month to do all their work. They'll only have 5, which contradicts Scripture.
Well, that's a strong point, Brother Arnold.
Think about it. The Scripture says you've got 6 days to labor. Well, if you want to count the new moon as one of the work days, when the scripture, when Yahweh himself said here, he named three categories of days. Now I'm going to say them again. He said, the gate shall be shut the 6 working days. That's one difference. That's in its category itself.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, can never be one of the 6 working days. And neither can the new moon, because he says, but on the Sabbath it shall be open. In other words, it's not one of the 6 work days. And in the day of the new moon it shall be open. These are worship days. It's not one of the 6 work days. But my point back to my thought here, if I'm out there in the wilderness, I can find the new moon. And when I do, I'll know when it's over, the 1st work day begins. And then, after 6 working days, I'll find my 1st Sabbath there. But you know what? I couldn't find a Sabbath without the new moon, because it, you know, your 1st work day comes out of a Sabbath. But if you ain't got something to find your 1st work day, like the moon,
mm-hmm.
you cannot find your 1st work day or your 1st Sabbath. It's all tied in there together. And this is why we can offer a $10,000 reward to anybody that can find a pinpointed weekly Sabbath in Scripture that was not on the 8th. In other words, you got your new moon worship day, and then 6 work days, which would be the 7th day of the moon, just like in Genesis 2:2 it says that he finished his work on the 7th day. Well, that's talking about the 7th day after the 6 work days and new moon. Now, and then he rested the 7th day of the week after the 6 work days. And you cannot find, and that's why we can offer that reward, we can pinpoint at least 72 weekly Sabbaths. I got more than that, but this is in my book. 72 weekly Sabbaths right there when the Sabbath was made known to Moses in the 16th chapter of Exodus.
Right.
The Sabbath was on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Arnold? Because you can use deductive reasoning. Yahweh will give us deductive reasoning. If he spoke to them on the 15th and told them when it gets evening, of course, we'd leave the day in there, they would get quail to catch, clean, and cook. He said, and in the morning, talking about in the morning of the same 16th day, because when the 15th ends at evening, he didn't give it to them on the 15th. Why do you think he waited evening? Because it was a weekly Sabbath on the 15th. He said, when it gets evening, you're going to get quail in the morning, manna, and you'll get it for 6 days. So they got it on the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st of the moon. He said, but you won't find it the next day, which is the 22nd. He said, that's the Holy Shabbat.
Amen.
Hey, I done said that once, ain't I? But anyhow, it'll hurt to say it again.
Well,
Yahweh said things over and over again.
Well, he emphasized everything, Brother Arnold. Listen to this scripture. You made a good point here. I want to follow up on your new moon theme here tonight. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 31, listen to this now. And you shall order your priest to offer your offerings to Yahweh on the Sabbaths and on the new moons. Right there it is. And on the set feast, the 3 times that you offer is on the new moons. Now, my question to you, I read a website today that said that the lunar was in error and that there was not but 1 biblical new moon that they couldn't work on. The other 11, he said they could. In other words, with 12 months in the year, he said that only 1 of those was holy. Now, he's referring to Numbers 29:1 when he specifically tells them not to work. But listen to this. You shall continuously offer all your offerings to Yahweh on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, on the set feasts, in number according to the ordinances concerning them continuously before Yahweh, Brother Arnold. Continuously.
One place says throughout the year, all of the months throughout the year.
Well, listen to this one now. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4, following the theme of the new moon. And this is where that the Saturday worshipers and the Sunday worshipers, this is only 3 ways. Now, we got the solar worshipers over here. We've offered to debate them, Brother Arnold, but, they'll criticize us, but they won't come on here and debate us. And we
know it.
And I wonder why that we can't get people to come and debate 2 old country boys. Remember, you was talking about a while ago
same reason the Saturday people can't get the Sunday people to invade them, because they can't defend against it.
That's correct. In other words, they build a straw man. They'll attack the straw man, and yet they won't attack two brethren that can bring Scripture. Now, listen, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4. You remember several years ago that we had a meeting down in Florida, and me and you done three two-hour videos on the Sabbath, and you said that you didn't think these 3 hours we're doing here. We done 6 hours years ago and put it on video, and I've still got those, by the way. And here we are years later, and you know, Arnold, if we ain't no smarter now in this subject than we was then, and me and you both have really done our homework in this issue here. Listen to this, 2 Chronicles 2 and 4. Behold, I'm about to build a house for the name of Yahweh, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him incense, in other words, the sweet-smelling spices, and the continual showbread, and the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the set feast of Yahweh, our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. Now, when did they do away with 11 of the new moons? Can you tell me that, Brother Arnold? Is it unbelief? I mean, here we're setting a precedent. It said, blow the trumpet in the new moon. Psalms, I think, what was that, 82?
Well, even the International Jewish Encyclopedia says about it. It says there under Holy Days or Sabbaths, one or the other. Holy Days, I think. But it says that the new moon still is, and the Sabbath originally was by the phases of the moon. But what they done, they don't keep the new moons. I'm telling you, ever since the temple was destroyed in AD 70, somewhere after that, you know, people got scattered and all, just like when he come out of Egypt, he had to make it known back to them. They had forgotten it. Well, they had forgotten it. And he said there that he would destroy their place of worship and cause them to forget it. And so they just gradually, just like right now, everything's gradually going on a metric system. I don't want no part of it. I don't need it. I don't, you know, but our children and grandchildren, they teach it to them in school, and 100 or 200, 300 years from now, they won't know what a mile or a quart or a pint and all that be on the metric system because of commercial reason. Well, when Rome, you in Rome, you do as the Romans do, when they done away with the moon in the calculator, in the calendar, and you can look in your encyclopedia under calendar, and it'll show you where Julius Caesar introduced a calendar and said, don't use the moon anymore. Of course, Genesis 1:14 says use the moon. Use the great light in referring to the sun and the moon there. Well, after a while, you may not find the exact date that they quit keeping new moons and Sabbaths, but you know they once did it and they're not doing it now. And they may look back in history 200 or 300 years from now and show where that we used to be on a standard system and it was a metric system, but people won't know nothing about it. It's a gradual phase of it. You know how they say you can't throw a frog in a pot of water, it's hot, he'll jump out, but you gotta gradually turn up the heat and keep turning it up, and you cook the frog, you know?
So basically
that's what they've done on this Sabbath, and people are so indoctrinated, and just like he said, he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments and traditions of men. It's just a tradition of counting 1 through 7. If I were to ask you, I said, Brother Buddy, let's say if you kept continual cycling 1 through 7 like a hamster in a cage type thing, unending 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know.
A hamster on a treadmill.
Scripture says it teaches to do that. You couldn't go to no scriptures teach that it says to do that.
But Brother Arnold, it's too much trouble to leave that convenient calendar on the wall. You get it so Sears Roebuck and down to local bank and any other place you want to get the advertising of the naked women and everything else. They put the Gregorian calendar on there. Now, but nobody knows when the new moon's coming in today. I mean, you said that they used to do it, but could they really find out what day the new moon was coming in the month?
Listen, there was a Levite priest named Philo that lived at the time of the Messiah, and he mentioned this very thing. He said that and just in casual talk, he wasn't trying to push a thought or something, but he mentioned that the new moon was at the conjunction, which is that's when the old moon goes away and the new moon begins, when the light of the old moon goes away.
Okay.
They could accurately, they said, calculate, is taught in the schools, conjunction, like today, our children are taught in the schools how to tell clock time went by the clock on the hands. But they were taught how to tell, and there's a formula, and if anybody will write a call or go to my website, I think I got it on there, you can actually take a ruler and know how to multiply and subtract, and you can figure and look and measure between the center of the sun and like best time to do it is like the half moon. You can measure and subtract, and you will know within minutes, just a few minutes, seconds, when the next conjunction will happen. And you know, scientists do it, and them people are smarter than, they say, well, them people weren't smart enough to do it. That's crazy.
Well,
they were in the image and likeness of the Almighty, too.
Let me
on the calendar than people are today.
Let me give you an example here, Brother Arnold. When people tell me that, well, you don't know when the new moon's coming in, and I said, well, I know when it's coming in. And they say, well, how do you know? And I give them the references of how to find the new moon and the appointments. In other words, you said back there in Genesis 1:14 that the moads were for appointments and for also for seasons and times and days. So it's a measurement that's given by the lesser light. Now, listen to this now. This is over in 1 Samuel chapter 20. For anybody that wants to know if they knew how to find the new moon, what day it was going to come in on, listen to this scripture. David. Now, the Bible says that David was a man after Yahweh's own heart. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Then said Jonathan to David, whatever that your soul desires, I will do. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, this is in verse 5, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I will fail to sit with the king at meat. In other words, they were having a new moon banquet. They did this every new moon, Brother Arnold, you know that. They blow the trumpets, and they ceased labor for themselves, and they practiced the function of keeping the new moon. David knows what day exactly that the new moon was coming in.
Well, sure. Jonathan did too. And they knew it was a two-day new moon at that particular time. Said, what year to the third day? And then it was on the second day of that new moon. That's when that Doeg, that Edomite, was up there at the house of Jehovah, and he was Saul's herdsman, chief herdsman, and he saw David, and David knew that he would, you know, mention something. What was Doeg doing up there if it wasn't, you know, new moon day there? But anyhow, they you know the story to go into that. But there was no question about it. They knew. They knew all month. He didn't just know tomorrow's new moon. He knew all month. Probably they had his calendar made up. Probably knew all year.
Well, of course they did. They knew when they knew. Now listen to this in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Verse 3, he appointed also the king's portion. Now remember, Saul had an appointed portion. Now I'm going to show you what it's for. Of his substance that he got for the burnt offerings, for the morning and the evening burnt offerings, and for the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the set feast. See, there was actually meat set to the king's table for these appointments, and it proves what David said here in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. He appointed the king's portion of the substance for the Sabbath and for the new moons and for the set feast, as it is written in the law of Yahweh. Now, Brother Arnold, when we come around preaching this system of timekeeping, then our opponents, the seventh day particularly, we jump on the seventh day real good because, you know, they use an imaginary dateline. They won't bring that up. And they're ashamed of that. And they have to leave the Bible completely to keep a fixed Saturday, which the Bible says even the Jewish people, they want to say, well, the Jews are God's chosen people. And then when you say, well, what Sabbath does the Jews keep? Well, they keep Saturday, and that's the reason we keep it, because they're God's chosen people, and they know when it comes. When you go into the examples, they kept a new moon, worked 6 days, and kept a Sabbath. You gave that formula right here, Brother Arnold, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 46 and 3. The people, listen to this now, the people of the land shall worship at the door of that gate before Yahweh. Now listen to this. You had to worship. Now they didn't worship on Saturday. They didn't worship on Sunday. It says they shall worship the people now of the land. That's the constituents of the belief system of Yahweh, a theocratical government that they had installed back in. They shall worship at the door of the gate. Now, you tell me, you quoted this scripture in Isaiah 46 and 2, you said that the gate was going to be open when?
On the Sabbath and the day of the new moon.
All right, now listen. Verse 3, and the people of the land shall come and worship at the door of that gate before Yahweh. Now, when? On Saturday? No.
In the Sabbath and the day of the new moon.
That is exactly.
Oh, ain't got nothing to do with no Saturday.
That is exactly what it says there. And how, Brother Arnold, how can people escape? This is reference after reference after reference, and the preachers, the teachers are pleading with the people, oh my people, they that lead you cause you to err. Now, did you know that the word congregation, again, remember in Isaiah chapter 14 where it said that Satan desired to set upon the mount of the congregation?
That's a moed.
What is the Hebrew word there? They put in congregation. That's wrong, Arnold.
Yeah, it's moed.
The moed. Now, in other words, that means times and appointments. So Satan wanted to set upon his own appointments and his own times, and he come along and give the carnal mind an understanding that the seventh day was the Sabbath instead of the eighth, changed the truth of Yahweh into a lie, and they started worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And the Creator himself, we know that in John chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, that the meeting up there at the temple, you said it was torn down, they were there at that temple on the Sabbath day, circumcising, which we know that it should be the eighth day, and the Messiah was there circumcised. So it was on the Sabbath day that he was a circumcising. Well, the examples of Luke 6 and 1, now you know what that says. It said it came to pass that on the Sabbath after the first Sabbath, there was another Sabbath. Well, that wasn't a weekly Sabbath that they went through there plucking the corn off for 2 weeks before time elapsed. It was a two-day Sabbath that the moon was in changing in the dark side. Now, let's refer back to the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 5, that you had me to read for you there just a moment ago. It says that they said, now this is a complaint, and in the verse preceding that, Yahweh chided the people that had turned away from his law and murmured and complained because they wanted to buy and sell. They wanted to know. Now, this is what they wanted to know. When will the new moon be gone and the Sabbath that we can buy and sell? Now, I want to ask you a question. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, Paul entered into the synagogue and taught the house of Judah, it says. He taught them for 3 Sabbath days. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is it possible at the end of the month that the 29th day, when we have maybe a fixed weekly Sabbath,
that we would have the new moon come in, and it would be a dark moon for 2 days, and so then that would make a 3-day continuous Sabbath. Is that correct?
Yeah. The Sabbath just means intermission. A lot of times we all time capitalize and everything, but it's just a Hebrew word for intermission. You know, you have intermissions 4 times a week after 6 work days, but you have a monthly intermission there on your new moon, and sometimes it can be 1 or 2 days.
Well, look at Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 17. We're over there close to Ezekiel 46. Let me back up here to the 45th chapter, and let me read you the 17th verse. It shall be the prince's part to give the burnt offering. Now, remember, there were 12 priests, or princes, rather, that was representing the tribes. You understand that? That they had a course, and David knew that there were 24 courses of the priesthood, which was a double shift, and at times it was 36. They had three princes there to continuously represent each tribe. A prince was over the individual houses, like let's say the prince of Judah, or the prince of Ephraim, or the prince of Simeon, and so on and so forth. Now, the princes will give the offerings, the meal offerings, the drink offerings, and the feast, and on the new moons, and on the Sabbath, and all the appointed feasts. Now, I want to ask you a question, Arnold. Is it true that the synchronization of the lunar calendar, that on the beginning, let's say the Feast of Passover, when does the Feast of Passover start? Or the Feast of Unleavened Bread?
The 15th is the first day of Unleavened Bread.
All right, Passover's on the 14th day. That's a day right
there. The lamb between the evenings on the 14th.
Now, what happens, Brother Arnold, on the 15th day of each month? What do we have?
Weekly Sabbath.
All right.
And that particular day there is a high Sabbath. That Sabbath day is a high day because it's not only the weekly Sabbath, it's also the first day of Unleavened Bread.
Okay, now you made a statement, and I'm going to confirm it with the scripture. You said that the day would come that Yahweh had prophesied that his people would forget his laws and go a-whoring and chasing the ways of Baal and worship Baal and turn from his Sabbath and his holy commandments. Listen to Amos or Hosea in chapter 2, verse 11. I will cause all of Israel's celebrations to cease. I will cause her feasts to cease. I will cause her new moons to cease. And I will cause her Sabbaths and her solemn assemblies to cease. That's Hosea chapter 2, verse 11. So it's a confirmation of what you read back there in the law of Deuteronomy.
Back on Ezekiel there, when he talks about, now this ain't Ezekiel, this is Yahweh himself, when he said, thus saith Yahweh, that talking about the gates being shut the 6 working days.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing you here there's 3 category of days. You got working days, new moons, and Sabbath.
Right.
And as I said a while ago, you cannot have a working day and a weekly Sabbath occupying the same space at the same time. And neither can you have a new moon day and a working day occupying. Now, I ain't saying these are worship days, the Sabbath and new moon. I ain't saying that you can't do things on a new moon you didn't do on the Sabbath. But now here's the point I want to make right here. If a brother asked a legitimate question, he said, well, the gates are open for worship on the Sabbath and the new moon, but that don't mean you don't count the new moon as one of the 6 work days and count through it. And that's exactly what they do. I said, well, could you leave the gates open on the Sabbath and count it as one of the 6 work days? He said, no. I said, but when you read the scripture, what Yahweh says, he didn't count the new moon or the Sabbath as one of the 6 work days.
Correct.
He made a distinction between 6 working days and the new moon.
That is
in other
right.
words, you got your new moon, that's like you had in creation there before when creation, heaven and earth was created. It's called Bereshit. See, it couldn't call it new moon then because new moon means to rebuild. And there wasn't no new moon there to rebuild. So therefore, he said, in the Bereshit. And after he created heaven and earth, he worked on his creation the 6 day. But then the next month you would have a new moon because it would be rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I was going to make a point right here that you cannot count the new moon as one of the 6 work days. Let me read it.
Okay.
The gate shall be shut the 6th working day, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open. In other words, neither one of these are 6 working days. It's like the Day of Atonement. It breaks up the working days. It breaks up the 6 working days of the week. Because the Day of Atonement, they count it as one of the working days. They'll just count right on through it, even though it's not one of the 6 working days, because it breaks them up. Just like the your Jubilees. You know, you have 7 Sabbaths of years, but that 50th year, you have that 49th year is a year of rest for the land, no sowing and reaping. And then you get another back-to-back with it on the 50th year of your Jubilees. You got, it breaks up, count the cycle of 1 through 7 for 7 years. Then you got a double, you know, rest of the land on the 49th and 50th year, right?
Correct.
But then you start counting years again after the 50th year. You count 49 years again. But that year of Jubilee broke up the cycle of 7, just like the new moon. It breaks up the cycle of 7. You got your new moon worship day. It breaks up. You, at the end of each month, you got your Sabbath. You got, well, let's say the last week of the month. You got 6 work days, and then you got a Sabbath on the 29th. But then you got a back-to-back Sabbath, just like the year of Jubilee. You got a back-to-back Sabbath with a new moon. And then your 6 work days start again. In other words, they think the cycle can't be broken. But that's what he put the moon there. You would lose the seventh day forever if you didn't have something that would keep up with it and bring it back in line. Man would lose it.
Well, I believe it's true. You know, in Genesis, and I want you to comment on this. I want you to read or quote Brother Arnold. And I know you can verbatim. I know you can quote the Septuagint. I'm going to quote the King James Bible here in Genesis chapter 2 where you're referring to. And the heavens and the earth were finished. This is verse 1 of Genesis 2. And the host of all them. And on the 7th day, God ended his work. Now, I don't say he ended his work on the 6th day. It says he ended, that is, in the evening, he ended his work on the 7th day. Is that what it said, Brother Arnold?
Yeah. Let me read it in the interlinear.
Okay.
Listen to what it says in J.P. Green's interlinear Bible, Hebrew and Greek. It says, and were finished the heavens and the earth and all their hosts. In other words, everything's finished.
Mm-hmm.
And finished, it says God here, on day the 7th. In other words, he tells you what day he finished it on. His work, which he had made. Now, we know good and well, this has got to be, when he finished up on the 7th day here, it's not talking about the 7th day of the week. It's talking about he finished up on the 7th day of the month.
That is correct.
Then he ceased on the 7th day, referring to the 7th day of the week, after
right.
working on his creation for 6 days.
And that's, hey, Brother Arnold, isn't that the exact formula of Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1 and 2?
And it explains that there was a space of time in Genesis 1 where he created heaven and earth before he moved on the face of the water and said, let there be light, and began working on his creation. See, Hebrew, the word yom, it's day. It's the English word day, the Hebrew yom. But when you look up the word, it's a space of time. It can be 12 hours. It can be a year. I can show you in Scripture where a year is called a yom. I can show you where a month and a week is called a yom.
Amen,
where
bro.
Where a day is called a yom.
Amen.
And so, you know, it's a space of time. So when there was 8 sequence of events there. He created heaven and earth. That's one. Then he worked on it for 6 days. That's 7. That's 7 sequence of events. And then he rested the 7th day after working on his creation that for 6 days. That was the 8th thing he done. And that's why Genesis 2:2 says that he finished up on the seventh day.
That's exactly what
really
it says.
The day of the week. That seventh day is really the sixth day of the week.
That is exactly right, because he was working on the seventh day, which would have been the sixth working day of that month, not that week now.
I wonder how many people in the listening audience finish up their work on the seventh day, or do they finish up on the sixth day?
That's the point
here. Every month, every new moon, every month, this first day of month, we finish up our work on the seventh day of that month, which is the sixth day of the week. Then we rest the seventh day,
which is the eighth day of the month.
Six work days.
It's the eighth day of the month.
Here.
Now, you said you had $10,000 for anybody that could read a Sabbath that was kept and acknowledged in the Bible. Now, Brother Arnold, is that too hard for all these Saturday keepers out there to find an example?
I've been offering it worldwide for years, Brother Buddy, and ain't nobody come up. Now, they've come up with some of them saying, well, I'm going to show you where they done this or that, and it couldn't have been the Sabbath. What I'm asking people, I can pinpoint 72 weekly Sabbath, starting when it was first revealed to Moses in Exodus 16th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the 8th, 15th, 22nd on the moon. That's what it's for. He appointed the moon for that.
Amen.
The deacons, the foreman.
Amen.
But they cannot produce one scripture where weekly Sabbath fell on any other day of the month other than one of them four. Now, that's no coincidence, Brother Buddy.
I know it's not, Brother Arnold. And let me tell you something, Brother. If the Bible, I mean, the one that we're quoting from here, that he rested, it said, and on the seventh day, he ended his work. Now, when at evening, it would have began the seventh day, and it would have, if he rested on the sixth day, and the creation calendar back there that they're trying to advocate, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, without a new moon, they don't want to bring the moon into this equation, Brother Arnold. And yet Yahweh used the new moon throughout his examples of saying that this day, now listen to me, in the first Passover, when the Israel came out of Egypt, okay, he gave them the correct time of the spring equinox. Now, if you take the first new moon after the spring equinox, you're going to get on this system, and then the moon is going to quarter your times, and you're going to keep it perfectly. And in the dark, whether it be 1 or 2 or 3 days that you keep a Sabbath, depending on the functioning of that system, it keeps it perfect, Brother Arnold. And it's the only perfect system that I have kept all these years, and you have too, that gets a Bible example time after time after time. And no wonder they run and hide when we get on the porch.
No, you know what? They can't. You know you cannot pinpoint no day in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation without the moon. You cannot date a day. In other words, the sun is for days and years. It'll tell you the years and the days when they begin and end. But the moon is for appointments. In other words, dates. You can take a date, like they left the wilderness such and such on the 20th day of the third month or second month, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
the 20th day of the month. Well, that's the 20th day of the moon. The moon changes shapes, and they can look at it and tell how many days was in there. But there's not one place from Genesis to Revelation where a date is dated without the moon. You would not, if you only had the sun, you would not know no appointments whatsoever. None of the appointments. You couldn't find nothing. You couldn't find the what they call the annual appointments. You couldn't find the Day of Atonement. You couldn't find what day they done this. You can't find what day they came in the wilderness there. It said on the 15th day of the second month.
That's right.
You had to have the moon to pinpoint, to date these. And the prophet Moses dated this date. It was very important. It was when the Sabbath was made known to Moses now.
Amen, brother. Well, Brother Arnie, you better give your number out here for the people to call.
Yeah, let me give you my website, too. Just go on there, and we got a lot of information on there. It's lunarsabbath.info. That's LUNARSABBATH.INFO, lunarsabbath.info. Or you can call me as soon as this broadcast is over. We'll send you free literature. Won't cost you a dime. Air code is 770. Phone number is 483 7-7-0-4-2. That's 770-483-8542. Yeah, I'll be coming on after this, too, won't you?
Yes, you will. They need to stay tuned for you because you're going to follow
it's
this.
Hey, y'all be hearing a tape. I don't even remember what it was.
Well, I know it'd be something good. But anyway, you'll
it'd
be
about Lunar Sabbath, probably.
No doubt about it. That's your specialty, and you're very good and very scripturally oriented into the words here on this subject. So stay tuned immediately after this broadcast to WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world tonight with Pastor Buddy and Brother Arnold here, my guest. Brother Arnold will be coming up right after the broadcast. Brother Arnold, we appreciate having you on here tonight. We'll be back Monday night at 9 o'clock. And you're going to be joining me, and we're going to continue our series. And then at the end of the week, we're going to get on to another very interesting subject, which is the count to Pentecost. And people are going to be delighted to know that most people are keeping Pentecost wrong.
Next week, we'll put the nail in the coffin and pin it down. It just conclusive, irrefutable evidence.
Well, I don't blame the Saturday people for laying low and jumping behind some website and building a straw man, because you know we're here with a gasoline and the match, and we can burn a straw man down. But I guarantee you the truth will stand when the world's on fire.
We'll pay for the radio time if they'll discuss it with us.
We certainly will. All right, folks, you can call Pastor Buddy. Let me give you my mailing address before I give you my telephone number. You can write Pastor Buddy tonight at Post Office Box 2284, that's New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-2172. And we want you to know that we love you very much. And the reason that we love you is because we love the truth. And if we didn't love the truth, Brother Arnold, you know that we wouldn't have it in our heart to tell them this wonderful truth. The Bible said, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it.
Truth will make you free if you walk in.
Oh, it'll not only will it make you free, it'll give you the right to the kingdom, it'll give you the purposes, it'll give you the joy. Yeah, and you know, Brother Arnold, this is the, many have talked about this, outside the name, this is the most joyful knowledge in the Bible. And you and I both have spent many years having joy. I mean, it's wonderful to know that we don't have to go with the world and the bailbox people to worship our Creator.
Creation, Sabbath, Brother Buddy, this economy, it won't be no problem.
You got it right, my friend. Well, folks, we got to get out of here.
Not only will it make you free, it'll give you the right to the kingdom.
Amen. Praise Yahweh. Well, Brother Arnold, I'll see you just in a few minutes here on WWRB, and we'll be back, folks.
Appreciate you having us. Bye.
Yeah, we enjoyed having you in here, Brother Arnold.
All right, sure.
We'll see you guys around the radio network. Remember now, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call will be going live on radio station WWRB on 5050. This is a powerful station that goes, it actually goes south into South America and over into, even down into Argentina. Brother Dave has informed me about so we'll get a new audience, and it's on Transponder 2. That's, you just click on 2 instead of 1 if you normally listen to me on internet. And we'll be giving you the dates that we've got to get out of here. Yahweh bless you and Yahweh keep you is our prayer.